Well, good morning to everyone listening to the service at home this morning. We want to welcome you to our time here this morning. Welcome back to our travelers who have been traveling over to Israel and are continuing on their vacation with the two-week voluntary quarantine, or as some might call it, an extended vacation, or however you'd like to put it. It's good to have you back in Canada again, so welcome back to those folks. This is the first of an unknown number of messages that I will be bringing via the internet in light of the decision by the leadership here at East Olds to close the church until the coronavirus outbreak is under control. So you can tune in here on the website on Sunday morning to catch the message, and probably in time you're going to see some worship music. We're preparing our Easter services and Palm Sunday services as well. So we'll see how those work out. But we are working on ways to make this time on our website the go-to place for staying connected for us as a congregation. So we just invite you to stay tuned in the weeks ahead, and we're open to your ideas on how to make this time together meaningful and worship-centered in light of not being able to gather together as a congregation. So feel free to pass your ideas on to us as well. Just a note that although we are going to respect the stay-at-home instruction, our deacons and pastoral staff are still actively working and are available to you. So just give a call if there's a need, or if you have a question. Pastor Chris and I will still maintain our regular office hours. But like mentioned, feel free to call anytime if you have needs or questions. Well, let's open this morning with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that you are Lord of all. Your word tells us that there is not one thing that happens in this world that you don't know about or that you don't care about. So this morning, Lord, as we come to you from our homes, we invite you to meet us this morning, and that we would sense your presence as your church gathers all around our community. We pray, Lord, this morning that you would grant wisdom to those who are researching a remedy for the virus that is about in the world. Lord, that you would grant safety to the frontline doctors and nurses who come face-to-face with those who are infected. Father, we give you thanks for their compassion and their selflessness as they care for others. Lord, this morning as well, we lift up those who are at higher risk because of their age. We lift up our seniors before you. Lord, we also think of those in the medical profession, people like our police officers, our fire departments as well. Lord, give them courage and safety as they interact with the public. Lord, for those who have lost their jobs or are fearing losing them, Lord, may you provide and be their peace. And Lord, for our own, we think of our seniors, we think of those who are shut in for one reason or another. Lord, we pray that you would be their hope and that you would bring them comfort, we pray. In a special way, Lord, also we just invite you just to bring comfort to Andy Whipp and his family as they spend time in hospice care. Well, this morning I was going to conclude a message series on the prophet Elijah. But in light of recent circumstances, and things do change week to week, we've had some unprecedented changes that we're experiencing globally and now have come to roost right here in our own community. And I want to take some time this morning to consider what faith looks like when our world gets turned upside down, like it has with this recent virus. So the message this morning is entitled Faith Boiled Down, and we're going to be looking into the book of Matthew in chapter 22, verses 34 to 39. If you have your Bibles, feel free to open up to that chapter. Well, we've all been reading or watching the news this week, and in doing so, it's not hard to become fearful of the things as things unfold around us with this virus. And that fear comes from not knowing the future, not knowing how things will work out or how we will cope with things as they work their way through. And it's true. We have never been in a crisis like this before. It is scary. When we are facing the unknowns like this, things of our world get turned upside down, and it puts us in a place where we sometimes don't know what to do. In fact, as a Western culture, we usually read about this kind of thing or hear about it happening in some other country or to some other people, but it's not us. In many ways, as a society, we have been insulated from the trials and struggles that other nations frequently face. So when it is suddenly happening in our own backyards, it tends to throw us off balance. It upsets our equilibrium. Our apple carts are turned over. We are not used to the uncomfortableness of the unknown. And it's in these times of uncertainty that we have to evaluate what is truly important in our lives. If our faith were to be boiled down to its essence, what would be left? This is what I want us to ponder a little bit this morning. If our faith was to be boiled down, if all else was stripped away, what would be left? See, when we strip away things like our church building, which we have this morning, church activities, which we have ceased, we're not gathering together outside. When we cease our face-to-face interaction with other believers, and that has come to a stop as well by orders of our province, what are we left with? What are we left with? What are the basics that make us Christian that we are left with? And just like countless other believers over the centuries, times of trials and struggle reveal the essence of our faith. And that's what I want to take a look at this morning. So let's take a look at what is essential. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 34, Jesus gives us two commands that define the entirety of the Christian duty. And that Christian duty is to love God and to love others. Two commands that Jesus gives. So let's read in Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." And the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus gives us two essentials here of the Christian faith. First, the first essential is love for the Lord, and the second essential is to love our neighbor. So what do these mean? What do these mean that Jesus brings as essentials to us? Well, the first essential to the Christian faith is to love the Lord. Jesus was referring to the first commandment given by Moses in Exodus chapter 20, that states, "You shall have no other God but me." God was telling his people that he was their God. He was their leader. He was the one that was deserving of their attention. And so Jesus is giving this as a commandment. He is restating that you will have no other God but me, just as God had said early in Exodus. But he uses the words of Moses from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, to help explain what he meant. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the people of Israel were called to an absolute trust of God before they entered the promised land. And this was something that they struggled with. They too faced an unknown. It was scary. And so Moses reminded them of the sovereignty of God, that his absolute and authority and control could be trusted. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5 reads like this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." See, Moses was calling the people of God into a relationship of complete trust in God. To be fully committed to trust and to honor and to serve God alone with their whole lives. To trust God absolutely means that we surrender ourselves to God and we let him lead. To trust God absolutely means we put everything in his hands and we trust him with the results. You know, born in the 1800s, George Mueller cared for more than 10,000 children over his lifetime in the orphanages that he established. He was often found praying for the bare essentials. See, the orphanages didn't have a plenty amount of anything. See, he would often be found praying for the bare essentials, and often those bare essentials were just enough food to feed the children for one more day. And you know what? They never went without. Mueller always saw the faithfulness of God come through. Farmers that would be taking a load of potatoes down to their storehouse would make a right turn instead of a left and end up in the orphanage and say, "I don't know why I'm here, I just felt I had to bring these." And the children were fed for another day. We might look at that kind of trust today and say, well, that's impossible to do. But I guess that's why the stores are cleaned out of some food products some foods and some products. We really don't want to have to trust God for our next meal. But here's a secret. Here's a secret that comes from George Mueller. If need be, we can trust God with everything. If need be, we can trust God with everything. When we have plenty, oftentimes we don't have to trust God. When we have enough, when we have abundance, we don't have to trust God. Yet when the times get tough, our faith is revealed. And like Mueller, as he prayed in quiet, we can trust God. We can rely on him. Our faith is even that big. See, God knows our needs. He knows our needs emotionally and spiritually and physically. He knows it all. In Psalm 139, we are reminded that God knew us even before we were formed in our mother's womb. And Jeremiah 29 reminds us that he knows the plans that he has for us, plans that aren't meant to harm us but to care for us. So faith boiled down should reveal a radical trust in the Lord. One where we don't have to live in fear, but rather we live in peace, knowing that even through the trying times or stressful times or struggling times, we can trust the Lord with it all. And we are to cling to that trust with everything we have, with every ounce of strength that we have, with our whole heart, with our whole soul, with our whole might. That's faith in action. When it is boiled down, as we face the unknown with this global virus, that is the kind of faith and trust that we are called to. That is the kind of faith and trust that God invites us to enjoy. That is the first commandment that Jesus gives, the first command, and it's an inward command. It's a command toward an inward faith. Well, the second command that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 22 is a command to an outward faith, to love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus replied, we'll read the verse again. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Have you ever noticed how far an act of kindness goes in someone's life? I was at the Tim's drive-thru some time back and someone paid it forward. They bought me my coffee. By the time I got up to the counter to pay or up to the drive-thru window to pay, it was already paid. And interestingly, because of that act of kindness, sometime later, I was compelled to bless a senior on his scooter who was in the lineup behind me, and I bought him his coffee. You know, it may not seem like much, but small acts of kindness shown to those around us are a powerful expression of our faith in God. See, faith is never meant to be experienced in isolation. No pun intended for those who are in quarantine. Our faith in God is to be expressed into the world that we live in so that it can be received and enjoyed and celebrated. Our faith should make a difference in the world that we live in. I heard this week about a group in Calgary who offered to run errands and pick up groceries and prescriptions and walk dogs. And they even offered childcare to folks that needed it through this time of crisis. And they started on Friday with a Facebook page, and by Monday they had over 6,000 volunteers. 6,000 people had signed up. That's amazing. In times of crisis, how is your faith made evident? How does your faith show itself? Now, you might not be able to do some of the things that the volunteers signed up for, but could you call a neighbor? Could you call and check in on them? Could you shovel their walk for them if there was a time of snow? Are there people that you know that may need some encouragement or someone to talk with? Could you be that person? Or what about just simply being that person who lets someone know that they're not alone? Maybe they live by themselves, and it's just one phone call that simply says, "Hey, I was thinking about you. See, that shows that someone cares. These are things that anyone can do. That's what showing God's love is really all about. And Jesus reminds the Pharisees, who knew all the laws and all the rules, they had that all put down into memory. Jesus reminds them of what faith in God really looks like. He stripped away all of the show and all of the pretense by giving these two commands and simply said, if you love the Lord with your all, then it will show in the way that you treat and care for others. In this time where we can't be together as a church on Sunday morning, I wonder if we could take stock of what our faith is really all about. And I wonder if we could then act on it. We have an opportunity unprecedented. It hasn't been like this ever in the history of Canadian culture, and I bet you not for centuries, where churches have closed and believers have been forced to be in the world and to show the acts of love and kindness and mercy and grace to those that they live around. I want to encourage you today, get to know your neighbor. I want to encourage you to make that phone call to talk to that person that lives just up the road from you. I want to encourage you, maybe you don't go to their door and knock, we want to keep the social distancing, but could you find them? Could you call to them across the way and just let them know that you care? See if there is something you can do to be a blessing. See, that's faith in action. Jesus says, love the Lord, trust him, and look for ways to let your faith become real to those around you. That's the call of the Christian life. That's what faith looks like when we boil it down. My prayer is that we would go forward and live that way. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us as believers not to be quiet and hidden away, but Lord, we are to show your love to others. Father, thank you that we can have a trust and a hope and a faith in you despite our circumstances, despite what might be happening in the world, despite what might even be happening in our own homes with job loss and all of these things. Father, we are all experiencing it to some degree. And so, Lord, we just invite you into our troubles, into our trials and struggles. And Lord, we pray that we would see you, that we would call on you, and that we would trust you with our all. And Father, even amid all of that struggle and strife, Lord, would you find us also caring for others? Lord, that is the mandate of the Christian faith, that we share what we have, that we share our faith with those, and we show that through our actions. Lord, may we be a blessing. We pray in your name. Amen. Well, as mentioned earlier, I invite you to watch our website for updates and information and upcoming messages. So until next week, let me pray a benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.